Public News Service Friday Afternoon Update. I'm Mike Clifford. Firefighters in Southern California working to contain a rapidly growing wildfire in Ventura County that prompted the authorities to order thousands of residents to leave the area. That from the New York Times. They report the blaze called the Canyon Fire began early Thursday afternoon near Lake Hiru, a reservoir about 60 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles. The fire was initially reported about 30 acres, but expanded quickly, and it burned about 4,800 acres by Thursday night. The Times notes the Canyon Fire began on a particularly hot day in Southern California, with a forecast high of nearly 100 degrees in the area of the fire and dry conditions that would help fuel the flames even more, according to the National Weather Service. And North Carolina is taking a new approach as to how it treats young people in the state's psychiatric facilities.
The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has begun a two-year pilot program for an innovative model of de-escalation known as Ukeru, a Japanese term that means to receive. The model is an alternative to the use of restraints and seclusion as a method of abating crises. It involves the use of soft blocking pads, says Kelly Crosby, director of the Division of Mental Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Substance Use Services for DHHS.
Think of a gym mat that's kind of like a pad that you can hold up in front of you, and staff are trained while they're using the calming words to hold the pad up and take a step back. Never step towards, always a step back. And so it provides physical safety for both the child and also the staff.
I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
Research shows U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement isn't just targeting people with criminal records in New Mexico during mass arrests of immigrants, and says deportations are harming local economies.
The Immigration Research Initiative report finds when arrests rose from January to May this year, many of those detained had no criminal record. Although President Donald Trump campaigned on deporting immigrants who commit heinous crimes, report author Chloe East says that isn't who's being arrested.
The majority who are currently impacted have no criminal conviction, and instead, the only potential violation they have is a civil violation of not complying with immigration law.
I'm Roz Brown.
Next, local officials and clean energy businesses in Georgia are making the case for continued investment in electric vehicles. Bryan County Commission Chair Carter Iffinger says Hyundai's new Meta plant is a prime example of how EV investments can create jobs and reshape local economies.
Hyundai in itself has 8,500 jobs at the site, and it's a $7.6 billion investment into our community. When you add the suppliers, it's about $10 billion and about 15,616 jobs.
They shared the message at an event in Savannah hosted by the Electrification Coalition, part of a National Freedom to Drive summer campaign. Speakers warned that cutting back EV programs could put job growth, cost savings, and clean energy progress at risk. This is Public News Service. California growers could soon get more flexibility to compost their own agricultural waste under a bill moving through the state legislature.
SB 279 would expand on farm composting and ease state permitting rules. Supporters say the bill provides a solution to a growing problem since California banned most agricultural burning in January. Democratic State Senator Jerry McNerney of Stockton says composting helps farmers and the climate.
This is giving farmers a real leg up in their work. And also, the composted material is going to have some value to them as well.
Environmental groups and ag producers both support the bill, but large composting companies have raised concerns about lost business. The bill only allows composting once every 10 years on each parcel. I'm Joe O'Leary, Public News Service.
And a new study says the world could prevent nearly 2 million deaths by 2040 if policymakers take a more aggressive and effective approach in reducing transportation emissions.
A group of global researchers is out with new findings that say if the status quo remains, tailpipe emissions will double the number of premature deaths and asthma cases in children in underdeveloped areas. Midwest-based doctor Daniel Trujano is with Health Professionals for a Healthy Climate, and he says locally, emissions disrupt day-to-day life for a lot of people.
Other cases, they make you sick enough where you're not breathing well, and you know, I got to take several days of school or work off, and that certainly will lead to decreased productivity in the community.
Trajano says air pollution is often associated with large metro areas, but he adds breathing in unhealthy fumes from cars and trucks is a problem in smaller towns and cities, too. He points to kids forced to take longer school bus rides in rural areas, and other studies have found that pollutants can be even more harmful inside a bus. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, state and federal leaders across the region are reviewing updates for the major agreement that guides the Chesapeake Bay restoration.
The Chesapeake Bay watershed spans 64,000 square miles across six states and D.C., an area with over 18 million residents. Julia Krall with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation says the agreement has helped partners track progress, but since its 2025 goals won't be met, the new draft needs firm deadlines and clear targets. She's urging a 2035 deadline with regular two-year check-ins.
We need to know what our goals are and what we're working towards so we know if we're being accountable to those goals and how we're going to get there. And that includes habitat restoration and also pollution reduction.
While progress has been made, states will miss the 2025 targets. Pennsylvanians can submit feedback on the new watershed agreement by September 1st online at cbf.org/act now. Danielle Smith reporting.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for ending your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.